This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you need a ride? 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 Do you need a ride?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Just because my name is listed first, that in no way means I have top billing on this podcast. And I just now realized that, and I wanted to just say it to you, Karen.
Chris, thank you. Very generous of you. I would say you have top billing alphabetically, and you have top billing if we both had to go do a set right now, which is, of course, my recurring dream and nightmare in COVID.
Well, I would assume you and I would do some sort of a mixed nuts improv duo thing, which is something I thought you and I could always do.
That would be a huge fix for me in reality and then in this dream where I keep kind of waking up in the dream to somebody going, oh, you're on now. You're on right now. You have to go. And then I'm like, I haven't done a set in 4 years. What are you talking about? Why am I booked on this show?
Yeah, that's the dream I have about where I have to get off the road because I forgot a math class in high school and I have to go back to high school. Very similar.
Classics. Classics. Should we bring our guest on and see what her nightmare is?
I am very excited for our guest today, Karen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know her. She plays clubs and colleges all over the country.
A lot of colleges.
She has, I think, 16 podcasts herself.
Yep.
And she's a writer. She is a comedian. She does it all. She's here for us now. Please welcome Naomi Ekperigin.
Chris, why were you scared to say my last name? You just pawned it off on Karen real last minute.
Everyone sees through me. I am horrified by any series of vowels and consonants.
Yeah, it's okay. It's really pretty phonetic, except for the hard G.
And did I get it right or wrong?
You did. No, you did.
Oh, okay,
but I knew, but it was just so funny because he was preparing to do it and then said, Karen.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. He's not going to try it.
That's fine. You know, usually I introduce myself first, then Karen. Then there's a lull where I improv, and it's always the weakest part of the podcast. Although, Karen, I don't know if I've told you this, but a lot of people have said it's their favorite part. And then
you're improving?
Yeah, people keep asking about that.
But also, just talking.
Right.
You're saying improving, but you mean talking.
I am representing myself and continuing to speak.
Okay.
And then ultimately, Karen usually does the intros. But yes, I would have said Jen at the end of your name. I didn't even need to tell you that. I want honesty. I want this friendship to start with honesty. I would have said
we
Jen.
We have to.
You have no choice.
I'm so sorry.
You have no choice about the honesty.
It's so
true. She's going to see it.
I'm going to make it happen. And I, you know, I say I want honesty. I say I don't want debt between us. That's something very important to me with friendship. I can't like I have to pay you back, or like if you treat it, I'm treating the next time. I will remember. I will write it in my calendar.
Yes.
I am treating from the. I don't want debt between us.
Well, consider us fiscally in love.
And actually, you have the one up on me because I'm the last person who canceled between the two of us. But it was 4 years ago, so I think that it might be, the time might be running out on the statute of limitations.
Oh yeah, I think we're totally at reset. I think anything before 2020, that doesn't count. So now we're fresh now. You know, in 2021, we're fresh. It's very fresh.
Thank God. I had no idea you guys had past beef about a cancellation. Should we get into this?
All I'll say is Naomi and I'm. Well, we met at the All Jill Comedy Festival in
Jane.
Portland.
Yep. It was lady times.
All Jane. All Jane. All Jill. I got my nursery rhyme wrong. Sorry, Stacey.
Yeah, I know where it is. Yeah. Sorry.
Curious Comedy. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I love that place. I love
everyone's
Stacey.
Friend Stacey, yeah, who runs it and is the greatest.
She is the
so
best.
Naomi and I were staying at the same bizarre motel that was in an abandoned office park over by the airport. Mm-hmm. Nobody else was staying there, I think, but you and I.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, is that because you and I both refused to share rooms with people? I assume so.
Probably.
I assume they were like, oh, you want to be by yourself? You're going to be right by the airport. How's that?
How about you go to the Diva Motel and go stay out there? And we're both like, great. And there was a ballroom dancing competition in the lobby.
Yes. Oh, my
Remember
God.
That?
I fully forgot that. That's so true.
There was a store. Did you look in that store with me, or was there somebody else?
No. You went
on
your own. You braved the store.
I was like, let's get leotards with fire on them. But apparently, if you weren't in the competition, you couldn't actually shop at the store. I think whoever went in there with me, it may have been a Brandy Posey type of person, like LA girl comic, female comic. We got kicked out of the store. I mean, it was like those people were like, this isn't a joke, so you can take your tourism elsewhere. And I was like, that's kind of perfect for ballroom
Were
dancing.
You pointing at items in the store and laughing at them?
Probably. I mean,
a lot of vendors, if I can call them vendors,
you can,
are offended by you pointing and laughing at their retail.
Yeah.
At their art.
Yeah,
their
I'd artwork. Also, exactly, I was like, not necessarily vendors, I'd call them artisans. Okay, yeah. These are artisans. They're making these things. I guarantee you ballroom outfits are made by hand.
Like a loaf of bread.
Right?
Artisans.
Absolutely.
Like, hand-threaded sequins. Mm-hmm. I mean, boa, like, feather boas that are sewed around the wrists and neckline. I mean, I'm just pulling this out of what I can remember from literally this was 6 years ago.
Was it? I was going to say even longer than six. I was like, that's amazing that you have it so fresh. I lived in New York back then, so that would put it at least 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I was going to say like 7 or 8, but it's also like, because I think that was one of my first festivals even. Like, that was the first time I had been asked to do something. And so, can you imagine? I really came in hot saying, no, I will not be sharing a room. It was like, you should be happy to be invited. But I was listen, I'm very particular when I sleep away from my home. And this is why I don't do festivals.
It's so
right? It's not, I'm not here to camp out with my girlfriends. I'm 50. I've done this a bunch of times. Like, I had the fun ones before. Now I want a crossword. I want to go to sleep exactly when I'm tired. And not, I'm not really actually festival material, even though they're my favorite.
Yeah. Chris, are you an active senior? You strike me as someone who's having fun out there in the streets.
I was going to say, yeah, the last cruise ship festival I did, which lets you know I'm a senior. We shared the smallest room with the bed. The beds were scooted together and the toilet kept overflowing. It was just scenes from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And it was so much fun. I don't know why you two would want to miss out on that. Character building. This isn't a towel. Underwear. Oh.
Great comedy. It also makes me think of that we did spend a lot of time waiting on that bench, which is another retiree thing to do.
Yes.
Another active senior thing to do is like two ladies facing straight forward, waiting for their ride, talking about, you know, the comedy
we were too old for this shit. Well, that was the thing, because I knew when you were waiting, I was like, oh, are you part of the festival? And I just also feel very grateful that I met you in that setting, because the impression I get of you, Karen, is that you only like about 7% of the population. You ain't got time for these hoes.
Correct.
So I feel like I met you. We were both there. We should have been sharing a lap blanket just to keep our legs warm. But like we were meeting. We were like, we're both in this situation.
You met.
And the fact that we're in this hotel means we have a similar sensibility, right? Because we've been put in this hotel because we are difficult.
Okay.
Outright difficult women. Yes.
I don't know why I put the bench in a park and you're surrounded by pigeons. This was a bench at the hotel.
Yeah, okay, outside the hotel. Okay. Yeah, right outside. But it certainly had a pigeon energy. Like if I had feed, they would have come. You know?
Yeah, entirely. They were waiting right around the corner. But maybe the staff had them beaten back enough. So if like it was bugging people. But this was the place where, and I think I told you about this, Naomi, at the time, but I really enjoyed getting up in the morning. It was such an odd, we were like off a highway, but then also down a road. So there was nowhere to go. So I would get up in the morning. And I would take a walk around this business park and get high, like wake and bake. And then, but I find myself in front of an abandoned DeVry business school. Or you remember the business school that was like sharing the other side of the parking lot? It was the trippiest. I would walk up there and just be like, they just left it here. Like no one goes to this school anymore. It was like, may not have been DeVry. I don't want to be busting them like, they're going out of business. I'm sure they're doing great. But it was like a University of Phoenix style actual business college that was no longer. And I was fascinated by it.
Were you either of you in that show Corporate?
Yes, I did a hot minute. I did a hot minute.
Yeah. Nice. Where they shot that was like a closed down. It was so creepy. Just a vast expanse of empty desks. And what made it creepiest is it seemed like people left in a hurry. They left behind like, like you have to get out of this building today, gas leak style. There's like expensive cords. I saw a watch on a desk. It's like, where's the owner of this watch? Is he okay? Why was he fired? It was had something to do with 2008
That's how it felt to me because this place, the parking spaces had names on them.
Right.
That's the thing I was obsessed with. It was just like, it wasn't like this slowly, you know what it made me think of? And like, not in any real way, of course, but it was this kind of thing of like, we all think that if a business, like a business, it has a big bill, there's a big building in New York somewhere where this business is. And then there's other franchises or whatever. In my mind, those can't go away because they're in these big buildings. And it's like, it's all fake. Like it all can come and go very quickly with no one expecting it. Like it's a little scary.
It is. It's so scary. Yeah. Just office, like cubicles in place covered with rat poop and where I need to know where these people. And it was one of the main home mortgage companies that famously had something to do with the fall of the market. Oh God, people are going to know I'm not that fiscally in love.
Uh-oh, your whole brand is gone right now, Chris. Yeah, blown up.
The fall of the, you know.
The fall of the market.
Yeah.
The market rate spell.
Economy.
The money drop.
I think the
money
drop of 2008. General, it's safe for me to say that, 2008. I don't need to give you any more details.
No, we were there. We know. Yeah. We suffered through
it. We saw when it dropped. We saw when it dropped.
What have you done any shows, sadly, in quarantine or lately that you've loved?
Well, girl. Okay. So I just a couple weeks ago, I shot a Netflix half hour in New York.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, that's right. And congratulations.
Thank you. But I had 2 months to put this thing together.
Yeah.
After not performing for 15 months. So when you talk about your nightmare of like, you have to go on now, I was very much living it.
Yes.
And it was that feeling of course, opportunity comes. There's no way I'm saying no. Yeah. But it was literally like, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know. We're going to we're just going to reach out to any person who's ever said they ever went to a show and ask them for stage time, whatever you can find.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I spent 2 months like out and about, I feel like right before the Delta Burke. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get up as much as I can. And then flew to New York. And that's all stuff, you know, I wouldn't have done if not for Netflix. I think I could have, not that I don't miss performing, but I was certainly like, none of this is worth dying for.
Yeah.
That's what I just figured out. None of it's worth dying on a ventilator for. So I'm happy to stay in the house and watch my streaming program.
Yes.
Yeah, and even if everyone's vaccinated and they're checking credentials or whatever, it's not worth dying on stage for being totally out of practice. The last time I did stand up, it keeps feeling like it did, 15 years ago. I feel like a kid again. It's so scary. Yeah. I leave every set drenched in sweat. But I also like that feeling, but it's weird to not know what you're doing.
Naomi, when it finally came to tape time, you get two shots, right?
Yes.
And Chris, you've done this already. You've done a half hour.
I've just done little spotlight things, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I absolutely see you as doing this, but
I chose not to.
But do you get two shots, two sets?
Yep. Two sets. Great. A seven and a ten.
And how'd they go? Like, can you just walk us through?
The first show was like fire. There's one line I missed in both shows that I did remember I missed it. Like, I realized I missed it two mornings later when I woke up at 6 a.m. in a cold sweat, shot out of bed, and said, I don't think I said it. But the first one, the 7 o'clock, when it was funny because the 10 o'clock is where my friends were coming. Like, I knew people who were going to be there. But the 7 was like fire, and then 10 o'clock was a little, and then I kind of got in my head. So then I just started saying random shit. Do you know what I mean? Because if it wasn't a taping, I would have gone off of the material and been like, what do y'all need emotionally? But I couldn't do that. So then I just started trying to say random shit to see if I can kind of like jostle them or whatever.
Yeah.
So I just watched a rough cut yesterday. So I'm just really in my head about it. But you know what? We have to let go and let God.
Yes.
The figure is what it is after the pandemic. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes you gain the COVID-19 and you have to accept it. And I said what I said, right? Like, it's like, it is what it is.
Well, and see, having seen you a lot, I don't see how you can miss, because what you do on stage is so authentic and real. Like, I've watched many sets of yours at that festival and since, and I'm always trying to go like, every once in a while I can go, oh, that's a bit. But most of the time, that's what it feels like. It feels like you're kind of leading a chat that no one else gets to talk at, which is like perfect, right?
Yeah. So Chris, I'm improvising. I'm yes-anding myself.
Yeah, it's like the best type of improv chat. One-sided.
Well, Chris, solo improv chat.
First of all, thank you so much, Karen. That is the highest honor, okay?
Absolutely. You're one of my favorites.
That is the dream. Literally any time. It's so funny because I'll be like, why are people paying attention to me today? And I'm like, Karen Kilgariff told people I existed. Done. Oh, done. Chris. The follows come. The follows come when KK comes through.
My whole career is Karen doing that for me.
But Chris, I saw you. You were at one of the last shows I did pre-pandemic at the Improv Lab, and I had never seen you before. And my dear partner Andy Beckerman is such a huge fan of you. And I saw you. It had to be January, February. You were giving me Christmas sweater vibes. Like, it was a button up. Yes. It wasn't actually Christmas, but it was like a thick cable.
I have a series of sweaters that I really wear too much of during the holidays.
Yes, and I was like, oh my god. And I just remember because it was one of those shows where, you know how the Improv Lab can be, or just any clubs in general, right? They can be really kind of like, they ain't necessarily there for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there was something about you where you are just such a goof troop, but also so very, like, grounded, literally, like, in his body. Do you know what I mean? Like, Chris is kind of like, he's going to stand there. You're about to go on this journey, and you better figure it out. And got this audience in a way that I was like, damn, because I kind of got up there and was like, love me, I'm bleeding for them, like really in overdrive, talking too fast and stuff. And he just was kind of like, yeah, this is it. We're having fun and I'm in a sweater. That's it. That's the stuff.
Thank you so much. That makes me feel great. I performed in that room a lot, and that was why I felt comfortable in there. I think a lot of people, like, for some reason, that room can pull the energy out of your soul, like, immediately.
It's done that for me.
I just felt comfortable in there. I still do terribly on the main stage, if that's any consolation.
The main stage, I have to say this, because I've had the best shows of all in the improv main room. And then I've had ones where I'm like, oh my God, everything I've ever done is a mistake. And I've also behaved very badly when those sets went south. Mm. You know what I mean? Where I'm like strangely attacking the audience. And they're truly like, hey, look, we're not experts and we actually don't care that much. We're here to talk to each other, drink these drinks, and you're the background. Yeah. So, like, if you can accept it, do your thing. And if not, we will make your life a living hell. And so when it really came together was when I was doing songs, which was humiliating because I would have to get up there and be like, it's me, the guitar act. But then in a room like that, they all just give over to you. Like it, they're like absolutely leadable. Yes, exactly. You like take up the whole thing.
Well, Business Situation is my favorite song. I like have it in my head all the time. It's on a mix that lifts me up because it just really hits. It just Business Situation. Like, and you know, who was it? Who is it? Chris Pope's clapping. It's from the live album.
Chip.
And I was like, that's someone clapping. And then it's just like so good. And it's just like, you know, your voice is a gentle dream, and that's beautiful. And I remember because that was what I saw you do at All Jane, you know, music, because I didn't know. But I remember I feel like around then, too, you were talking about that pivot to doing just the music and not like, you know, both anymore. But I remember it was like they're there for it. And also because I think the music is so well done, like there's nothing I can't stand more than a musical comedian who can't sing.
Oh,
these hoes be out here without the harmonies. And it's like, stop. Just write tweets instead. You know, like that's what you insist on doing. And I think when someone sounds good, like you're inclined to focus on it. You know, you're not going to just be like, oh, this jack-o'-lantern.
This Halloween pumpkin. I agree. Yeah. You try and convince Karen to lay down another music album. I want to start a band with her, even though I only play trombone, but maybe she'll listen to you, Naomi. Maybe she'll listen to you. I think that music needs to happen again.
Guys, I loved doing it, but there is, and I know I've talked to both of you individually about this, when you're up there in the middle of a song, you cannot get out.
Yeah.
You have to finish it. It's the worst. Even when they love it, it's the worst feeling in the world to me. Because I like the idea, like, I want to show people, like, hey, look, I thought this thing up. I want the credit. And I want the hard laughs at the jokes where they are. But sometimes there's, like, vast deserts between laughs, between, like, good feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's bad, it is the worst. But I think, like, a room like the Hollywood Improv, because there's such a weird show feel, it's like the room is you know, stacked or whatever. Like there's something about it that if you go in there and you're like, I'm filling this whole room up, it'll work. And if the room gets on you and you get small, that's when I have always failed, is when I was like, it's too fancy for me or whatever. And it's like, it's the fucking improv. What are you doing?
Yeah. Right.
And that's
you have to remember.
Yeah.
You're the star.
You are the
star. You're the star. We shouldn't be talking about comedy so much, or should
no,
we?
No,
I wish you guys, we could do this podcast back when I actually needed a ride, because I always need a ride because I don't drive in LA.
We will.
And I was podcast that would take me places. This is the dream.
We'll
be back.
Good.
We promise we will in the future. Yes.
Yes.
And my sister is a very big fan of you, Naomi. Like, she watched Megan Gailey in Spokane and through her, got introduced to you, and she listens to everything you do podcast wise. She's a really big fan. She's brought you up many, many times, and you would like her. And one day
she has great taste. She really knows her comedy stuff.
Yeah, but she's open to. I'm like, should I go see this person? I'm like, it's not my favorite, but they've been doing comedy forever. I think you'll like them. And she's like, she'll give a perfect synopsis of their strong points and say nothing negative. Yeah.
Oh, that's very, I like her. She's strengths-based. Yeah. Is she a social worker?
She is a teacher, a librarian. Yeah.
See, strengths-based.
Yeah.
You've got to focus on the good to bring more of that out.
Yes.
That's what I've noticed.
Well, she's found a lot of good in you, and I had to let you know.
Thank you. What's her name?
You're saying Fairbanks. She listens. Lisa Fairbanks.
Okay, Lisa.
And she listens to your and Megan Gailey's podcast about Lifetime movies. Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sometimes someone comes to you, okay? Sometimes a corporation comes to you in a pandemic and says, do you want to do a podcast about Lifetime movies? And you say, you mean what I was already watching? Absolutely. And then I say, why don't we add a white woman to the mix?
White?
And then I call Megan Gailey. I say she's the whitest woman I know, whitest woman I trust. and got her in the loop. And yes. I'm just really glad we work well together. You know what I mean? Because I know her as a comic, but you know, it's always different when you start to work with somebody and it's like, do you believe in being on time and doing things right? You know,
right?
And she does. And we love that. And thing is, if it was up to me, we would just watch thrillers. We would just watch murderers. We would watch nefarious husbands. Okay. but we also have been watching, they have a royal movies, like three movies on Harry and Meghan, a true trilogy. They have a William and Kate. We're going to be doing some Christmas movies. Like every now and then we'll do a romance, but literally I'm like, I want to watch The Killer in My Backyard. Like, that's all I want. They're so funny. And so, like, I don't know. When I see a Lifetime movie, I say anything is possible. Because it's like, this person wrote that thing, and then somebody bought it, and then they shot it in a weekend. And then it's like, everybody got a job. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to see a Lifetime movie in action.
Also, when they jump on, this is because my sister and I are a little bit obsessed at this point with the Christmas movies, because it really does, like, almost like cartoons on Saturday morning when you were a kid, and, you know, for us in the 80s, it has this feeling of like, oh, I'm home for the holidays. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like we're busy and stressed because there's things to do, like top line. Mm-hmm. But right now it's 6 o'clock. We're done with today's stuff. And we're like rapping or doing stuff.
Yes.
And it's always on in the background. It is the most beautifully formulaic yet varied. You know what I mean? So you know that you're going to have the successful advertising female executive who has to go back to go through her mother's old cabin.
Tiny town. Okay, she's a city gal back tiny in that tiny town. Always.
And she drives in and they're decorating the tall, tall pine tree in the city square. I mean, it's the kind of thing where if you want to be cynical, you can. But if you give into it, it's way better. And it's like, it's a true kind of a journey where you're just like, yeah, what? Like, if you kind of, I don't know, I think I'd go with it of like, what if she doesn't get him? What if the guy she ran into in the mug store doesn't?
Oh, my God.
He's a doctor. What if he doesn't like her or whatever? Like, you can really go with it.
Yeah. And I do. That's one thing I'm good at now is giving in to programming like that. Like, I will watch. I've been watching Disney and Nickelodeon kids shows just for the ride because it's so many jokes. It's those shows are good. They're like 30 Rock for kids. And I get sucked in and I tear up at certain things, like even like Toyota commercials. But you just got to open yourself.
Well, Christopher, honey, that's different.
Yeah,
the crying in Toyota. That's something else entirely.
Well, I could go over all the reasons, but we've gone down that road before.
I love that you guys are actually the official podcast of Lifetime.
I didn't know that was I thought they jumped on later. From the beginning, you were approached by Lifetime?
Yes, that's how it started. They initially, and I was like, and again, it's funny just because I joke, like I wasn't watching Lifetime movies at the moment, but those are such a big part of my childhood.
Yeah.
Lifetime movies and like, you know, because it was basic cable, so we had it, but it was like a little adult, but obviously nothing really, but you know, it's like a teenager. Yes. I'm like, Oh my God. Look at that sensuality and murder. Like it was a big deal. And so I would watch those. And so, and especially, you know, we're all at home anyway. I was like, yeah, give me an excuse. I've been sitting in the house watching anime for a year. Let's shake it up.
Yes.
And bring some Lifetime back. And so that's
and there was part of it when you're younger that's like, this is what you're going to be faced with as a grown woman.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You're just like, so either you're gonna be the perfect model bride that then when you and your army husband get home, you're suddenly, you know, his eyes are going to turn to black ink and you're in serious danger. And here we go.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or you're going to get a career and then you're going to go home for Christmas.
Yep.
And then the guy that, you know, that's making the donuts in the town is going to fall in love with you. And, you know,
and also like, can I please, all I ever want, I realize like I'm obsessed with large kitchens. And that's Lifetime's fault. Okay. Yes. Because every movie, it don't matter what she do. She a kindergarten teacher. She a big city executive. Marble countertops. Okay. At least one, sometimes two kitchen islands.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love
these
it.
These women are out here.
I love when when the job is just struggling welder artist. And then they have the nicest apartment I've ever seen.
I know. But there's something about a big kitchen. I've never lived in a place with a big kitchen, really. Like, you know, my own, where it's just like room to maneuver. You know, more than one person can be in the kitchen and it's not a production.
You can immediately picture them like taking pasta in a colander and throwing it way up in the air and like nothing's going to get... It's not going to get on anything because they just have room to do it.
Yeah, an island. Utilizing an island in any way, that means you got a fancy kitchen. Face it.
You do. Yeah. And that's Lifetime, baby. That's what they taught me. Every girl's got an island. And I said,
it's aspirational. It's an aspirational show. And true. Then, is it couples therapy?
Yes,
your
indeed.
Podcast with Andy?
Yes.
Couples therapy.
Yes. So now we... we'll have our, you know, guests, people we like on, and we will answer relationship questions, talk to them a little bit about their relations. We recently had Patton Oswalt and Meredith Salinger on. Cool. Sometimes we'll have a couple, which is a cute, fun time. But then Lance Reddick. We love a Lance Reddick, speaking of corporate, who played the scary boss.
Oh, yeah. He is so
nice and tender.
He's the best.
And, you know, wonderful comedians. I wish I had names off the top of my head. But the point is, we're having fun. And there's nothing I love more than answering relationship questions because I should be Ayan Law. I should be Oprah. Like, that is something I can very much do at some point because yes. I know how to, I know exactly what you should do. I don't do it personally in my own life. But if you don't pay attention to that, you will listen and you will feel better.
Yes. What's the best piece of advice you guys have, like, somebody said to you or you've come up with on a show that
okay,
you can
well,
think of?
One of the things I have said over and over is anybody worth your time will not have to be convinced. And that is when these people be coming in here talking about like, oh, I like him or her or they aren't paying attention to me, whether it's a crush or we're in a relationship and like they're not making time for me. And what do I do? And it's like, you have to leave.
Yes.
Nobody who is your person is going to need to be coaxed into showing up for you.
Yeah.
Good God. It's simple. But and also, and I say that as somebody who gave a lot of hoes a lot of time. You know what I mean?
I hear
they were
that.
The best. Chris, did you give hoes a lot of time?
I mean, let's get there. I am looking back and seeing that there was a lot of convincing.
Yeah.
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 You can't do it.
Always.
Yeah.
You can't
that's
do it.
That's a hard one to learn.
I know.
Because, well, especially if you're like me, where the people I like the most are the ones that do not give a shit. Right? You get into that thing. Because I listen to, what's that thing? It's called, it's...
Pheromones.
No, sorry. Sorry. the way you bond. So it's like anxiety or secure.
Anxious, codependent, or
secure.
Yes. Attachment, it's like attachment
theory.
Yes.
Attachment theory. And I learned about one of them is if you have an anxious attachment like tendency, then the people who have there's one that's like basically like no thanks attachment. And those people give you feelings that you begin to mistake for the feelings of love because it's actually anxiety because you know they're not going to give you what you want.
Wow.
And you want, and it makes you want it more.
I think I have that.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I think everyone has it a little bit. It's that thing of like, the person is a crush that then somehow becomes a rock star the less they care about you.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I never was that way. If anything, I think if you liked me, then I would attach to you. You know what I mean? Mm. I was like, oh, you like me? We in love now? And then they would very much be like, oh, no, I changed my mind. Like, if that happens. Or, like, I would like a friend. Like, I needed you. I'm not here for anybody who seems disinterested. I don't. Mm. It's already, like, enough. I think I don't like me, so I don't need somebody else not liking me either. Like, I can only be in one battle at any given time. And so I need you to kind of be on board. But it's not enough that you just like me, right? I was never taking the time to think, do I actually like them?
Right.
You know,
I think that's a lot of women deal with that, where it's like the flipping that question of like, wait, what if this was my choice? And I'm not sitting here like, oh, waiting for my dance card to get filled. It's really, that's a tough one. That's like emotional maturity, I think.
I know. Are either of you in relations?
I am. No, I'm just, I've really been finding myself the last year and a half and I feel good about it. But no, I'm very...
Chris, you turned to the side as you were saying that, and it looked like Beethoven's
silhouette. No, there's just a mirror here, and I was looking at myself in the mirror.
When you turned to the
totally dark.
Oh, weird.
Goes, you turn to the side, and because of your backlighting, it goes, look at that.
Yeah, that
sorry,
is
this is
weird.
Bad podcasting.
You got to do a screenshot real quick. Post this. Okay?
Click.
For the listeners.
Here, wait, do it, and
there
I'm going to take
my
a picture.
Penny silhouette.
Hold on, hold on. Wait, turn again.
Okay. There's a dark silhouette, and there's the reveal of my face.
And you're back.
It's great. It's great to have reveals on podcast. Zoom reveals on podcast. If you want to see what Chris looks like, you have to pay $9.99 to go into the...
unlock these pixelated images.
Enjoy.
I've been outdoors a lot. I've been golfing and skateboarding and doing things that make me happy, and I feel... good, and it's okay that I've been not dating, but
of course it is. What are you saying? We're a pandemic.
Yeah.
You're saying it's golf is everyone. Your girlfriend, and that's fine with us.
Exactly.
We accept you.
I love Lady Golf, and
my Lady Golf.
I'm just worried that it's going to stay this way for me. I would buy some decision in my brain where I'm like, well, I'm old now, time to start building homes for pigeons to visit me. You know, because I'm into miniatures.
You do love pigeons. You brought them up twice now.
Hey,
and
you
I
know
hear
what?
You
it's
do
that
have
pigeon
plans.
Energy that you mentioned.
You've got some pigeon energy about you. I have the same, Chris, I have the same feeling where, like, when I went home in May, and we had to go to a family function, and I had cousins who were like, so, have you been dating anyone lately? And I'm like, you mean in the past 18 months of quarantine for the global pandemic? No, I haven't met anyone yet. Like, how dare you? Like, I've been spending my time getting, like, just packing on the pounds and really watching every single thing on Netflix.
Too.
I mean, that's
there's been a couple close calls, but that was just the mail carrier coming to my door. Other than that, no relationships have been presented at my apartment. On a hill.
I did have some exciting likes on Twitter, but does that count as a relationship? I don't think it does.
Well, what about Postmates?
Your Postmates crushes?
I had one, like, I knew it had gotten bad when I had a repeat Postmate, and he literally goes, hello again.
Oh.
And it was something about the way he said again that I felt was savage, brutal, and pointed. And it was like, okay, I'm ordering too much. I'm ordering too often. Hello again.
Yeah, there was a Taco Bell guy. There was a Taco Bell by my college, and the guy just knew my name. Hey, Chris. And I felt unhealthy.
Yes.
Then he asked me to hold bags of marijuana for him. I didn't have to sell them. And he said, if I lost it, we'd be in big trouble with some guys in Seattle. So I did not do that. I did not become a drug dealer my freshman year of college.
Across the counter? Through the drive-thru?
Oh, next to the microphone that announces food orders. Like, I'm like, just quiet down. You're the worst recruiter for drug activity.
Oh, my God. Was this the abandoned business college Karen was talking about earlier?
I mean,
can't believe.
Close. It's a rapidly depleting liberal arts college. No. But... enrollment is down. You didn't need to hear that update.
It's down.
It's not doing well. To be honest, it's not. You weren't serious?
What we're saying is worry. We're saying worry. It's not cool.
Things
aren't going good.
It's a college I care about. I want them to do better. Go to the University of Montana if you enjoy sculpture or ceramics. But
Wait, were you in Montana?
Yeah. I'm from Missoula, Montana.
You're from Missoula.
I am from Missoula.
When did you meet your first black person?
There is a lot of white people there. Now I know that's why my sister pronounces white, by the way.
She gets a big breath before it.
Yeah, I would say 80% Caucasian. I'm wrong. Someone Google it. But yeah.
No, but like, seriously though, like, was it once you left Montana and then you, like, went to do an open mic and you were like, that black guy's talking? When did it hit you?
No, I think Well, I'm not going to defend the whole state or
no, you don't have to defend them. I'm just genuinely curious. Missoula, I grew up in Harlem, New York.
Missoula
so I'm like,
is one of those liberal towns that wants so badly to have culture that they'll they'll bring it in a way that other parts of, much like Austin in Texas, is.
Okay.
And that's where I ended up moving, actually, is Austin. Uh-huh. And so I finally lived in a city and got to be around different people. And it was really important to me right away. And yeah, my dad told me it would be important to me and wanted me to get out. But I do like going back to Missoula for the streams and the mountains.
Yeah, of course.
It's beautiful.
It's you're not in trouble for being from Montana.
I know I'm not.
He feels very defensive.
He's so worried. White people be delicate. You've got to shake it off, okay? Shake it off. It's not your fault, you white.
I put it on myself. That is not something you put on me. It is living inside of me. I'm sorry.
Naomi, I didn't know that you grew up in Harlem. What was your favorite part about that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
When I was growing up, Harlem was just such a neighborhood. And it was, you know, it felt a little like I would walk around to the corner store, to the bodega in my pajamas. And like, there was no judgment there. You know what I mean? Like, I liked it. There was one bodega where there was a bodega cat that I was like, this cat is my pet. I would go and like pet the bodega cat.
All bodegas have cats.
I know, but like, I feel like they have them now. Yeah. But like when I was little, you know, the only ones I could go to, right? Because it was like, I had a 2-block radius. I'm talking like 10 years old when I could go. Yeah, and I would be like, I'm going to go over to the bodega with the cat. And then I would just like sit in the back and pet the cat for a good 10, 15 minutes. And then I'd buy like a soda to justify my time with the cat. And then I would leave.
Where you lived, could you not have pets? Is it a family?
So my mom, I had like a turtle. I had a hamster, every like small little apartment pet, you know, but my mom does not like cats. And so she was like, no cats. Absolutely.
So you had to go to cat store. You had to go find the cats out in the street.
I had to go get a street cat. Like looking back, it's like, thank God I didn't get ticks. You know, like it's take a cat. I feel like now they get taken care of, but back then it was like, oh, that's just a random ass cat.
I love cats. Yes. I always have. I grew up around them. But when everyone at Bridgetown in Portland went to some cat cafe where apparently you have open beverages, coffee, hot drinks, and there's cats. Cats just crawl around you and you pet multiple cats. That didn't appeal to me.
No.
Interesting. I see that. I definitely see that.
Because of the fleas and the ticks that you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, and also, I think the people that go there are so obsessed with the petting and the cats that I don't know how much they're having like a big old latte with foam right there on the table. I bet you that there's like the focus is the animals
first.
I would hope so. I want to go there now and make a rule where it's like you go in there first and have your drink after you watch your
hands. It's safe to assume if the focus is the cats, they're probably out of business now. You got to buy the beverages.
They sell nothing
to keep the cat cafe alive.
And it's all alcohol. It's hard alcohol that you have to buy.
Just drunk cats everywhere.
My favorite thing. When I lived in New York, and this is because I grew up in a very small and kind of countryish town in Northern California, the idea that there were bodegas on the end of both ends of the block it was just like, truly roll out. There was one that was closer, didn't have the good cookies. Then the one at the end, it had like the gourmet stuff. And it was just like, this is true bounty. Like it blew my mind because the way I grew up, you'd have to ask to get something. And then it'd be like, we're not going into town until blank.
Yes, 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 yes.
You're beholden to adults going to town, which is so fucking Laura Ingalls Wilder. It's nuts. So when I was actually finally in New York, I was just like, first of all, I didn't need to do anything. I would just put in my iPod and just walk.
Yes.
Walk for blocks and blocks. The greatest.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I was taking the bus to school by myself at age 10. And that was, I was going from Harlem to the Upper East Side. And that was the city bus. You know what I mean? Like my mom would walk me sometime. Like she would walk me in the beginning, like to the stop, and she'd wait. And then after a while, she was like, okay, I'm going to watch you from the window and like make sure you get a seat off. And then it was like, all right, I'm out. And I really like that. You know, it's not, you know, certainly they're kids who grew up in New York who had like the party and all that kind of stuff lifestyle. That wasn't me, but I just was very used to being self-sufficient in really basic ways. And that has been a really difficult thing in moving out here because of the whole not driving. Because I am used to just taking my feet, or like as simple as exactly like I want an iced tea or I'm out of something at home. I can walk a block and grab it, you know, like. When I was in New York, I just kept going to Duane Reade, too, which is like three blocks away because I didn't have when I was like, oh, I need to use my card as opposed to cash or something. And some of the bodegas were like, what you're buying is $4 and I will not let you use a credit card. So I was like, I got to go to Duane Reade. But I went there like twice in one day. Like it was just like, grab it, go. Like, and that is something I miss. Yeah. And, you know, now it's like I got to do a Target run.
Yes.
And I know LA is allegedly a city, but to me, it's just much more like suburban with all the sketch of a city.
You can't walk. Yes. It's so hard to walk to I feel really lucky in growing up in a town where it was pretty safe as a kid. There was always the classic white van kidnapper situation, and everyone was wary of that. They would announce every morning who got kidnapped that week. I'm not even kidding. But
no.
And then I found this article, by the way. Twice I was in the paper. They would see me because I was dressed like a crossing guard. My mom made me a stop sign and I had an orange vest. And so someone at the Missoulian thought I was cute enough to go on the cover two different times. I saw this clipping recently. It said Chris Fairbanks walks to Paxson Elementary. His parents are Lynn and Jim, and he lives at 210 Kensington. It had my street and my parents' name.
It had the kidnapping script on the front page.
And they were just like, for lack of, we don't know what else to say. Here's his parents.
He leaves at 8:05 a.m.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And I guess to let the reader know that they had permission to post my photos. Hey, we know his parents, Lynn and Jim. Here's their address if you want to ask.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Just giving kidnappers some sweet, sweet bait.
It's completely
unbelievable.
Chris, I'm your father, Jim's friend.
Oh, my
God. He's in the hospital.
Yep.
And your mother, Lynn, can't come. That's the. That's how they do it.
And I would have gone.
That's how they do it.
I would have gone.
You would have, of course.
And today, I'd be the president of a bank. It would have lit a fire under my ass. I regret never getting kidnapped. God, I'd be successful if someone did.
You'd really have that. You've had the businessman's edge that you lack now because you would have had
sheltered,
that trauma,
protected, unkidnapped life that I just kind of haven't achieved that much. I do the bare minimum.
I know.
Oh.
I know.
Bare mins.
Sometimes I wish I was taken too. I'm like, Liam Neeson's daughter is doing so well now. You know what I mean? Like after she
gorgeous.
Got taken, she
gorgeous.
She kept it together. Okay, she got professional. And she was like, I'm gonna be a grown woman. And I was like, I love it. Oh, I love the movie.
You know
Taken.
What she did? She got mad. She got mad and then she got revenge. I weirdly am missing New York. I lived there so long ago and I only lived there for a year, but it really was because I grew up in that time where like I saw the Goodbye Girl at a very young age. Like that idea, I was convinced my parents were going to get divorced my whole childhood. And so I was constantly preparing for like, when my parents get divorced, I have to live with my mom because that's what they always do. Mm-hmm. And if she moves to New York, I'm going to have to get like, I'm going to have to get those rejoinders. I'm going to have to get that Quinn Cummings sassy New York little girl act. Like I was obsessed with that idea that like I gotta make it. That's how you make it there. Like you have your comebacks
so funny.
And you read your books. I was obsessed with
and
it. So when I finally got there, I was always like walking around. What'd you say, Chris?
And then you throw your hat in the air
and pretend you're in Minneapolis.
But that is so funny though, because when you say that, like thinking you have to like have that like attitude. My theory, untested, unproven, is that, you know, when you think of a tough New Yorker and like New Yorkers are mean or whatever, that's actually not a native New Yorker. You're meeting someone who has moved to New York who thinks that is the exterior. I think actual New Yorkers are very nice because you know anybody you talk to could attack you. You know what I mean? Like you're chilling warm and New York is like, baby, go first. You want to go first? You want to push?
Yep.
Go ahead. You want to like, true. Yes, like, after you, sir. I'm not trying to die today.
And full, I was told don't make eye contact. I made eye contact with everyone. Everyone in New York is always friendly. It's such
they
a
are.
Myth that there's like a hardened edge and you can't connect with people. I love being there.
That's,
I I'm always in a good mood there. Why haven't I moved there? I don't know.
I also find that I'm assuming they're native New Yorkers, because there is, like, when I would go to Duane Reade, the people who rung me up, I would go there a couple times a day too, because I knew I needed stuff. And I also knew, like, if I was feeling like homesick or lonely or anything like that, that I would have a conversation with that cashier, that we would have an exchange mm-hmm. if I made myself available to it, or there would just be like something always happens in Duane Reade, yeah. right? There's like yeah. someone takes a lemonade and throws it somewhere, and then people are like, and the cashiers were always so chill, like unshakably chill,
yeah. Yeah.
A little bit apathetic, always funny.
Yeah.
Like there would always be a good kind of sassy whatever.
Yeah.
And then they'd kind of be a little nice to you. They'd give you like a little, yeah, go ahead, you're fine, whatever.
Yeah. Where yeah, I'd yeah, be like, yeah.
yeah, New York. New York.
One girl, she had, it was like a young woman, I would say like early 20s, but she had a big pit bull with her in Duane Reade. And the dog was chill, but he peed on the floor. And literally, she was like, I'm sorry, he peed. And the girl doesn't say a word. She walks back, goes to the the shelf, grabs paper towel from the store's inventory, okay? Opens it, hands it to the girl, and is like, yeah, clean up your dog pee. Like, it's not a situation. She's not like, gotta get a manager, clean up aisle. She was like, here's some paper towel, handle it. All right,
yeah.
And she just walked
take
back
care of it.
behind the register. And I thought it was so funny. I was like, Duane Reade is your house. Like, she's our auntie. She's literally like, clean it up.
take care of your business.
Did she clean it up? I really need that woman to have cleaned up.
The woman did. Oh, yeah, good. The dog owner cleaned it up. Oh, definitely. She was kind of, you know, there's no way you can like hide that. And it was already, I feel like she was already rolling the dice, bringing the big dog in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Because he was a little too big for that.
Yeah, you got to get a little red vest. Got to put a little red vest on your dog.
Exactly. He was not wearing a vest. Yeah. And I said, sir, who are you serving?
Sir, excuse me, sir.
Sir? I think pit bulls are very much sirs. Sirs and ma'ams to mm-hmm. me.
They're formal. I was walking up. Can I just tell one more New York story?
You must.
I love it so much. I was walking up, I believe, 7th Avenue one time. And it really was, it had the feel of that, like when Tootsie, when Michael's out in his Tootsie outfit, like, I'm real. It's really working. Everyone's buying it, you know? And it's that, like, in that certain time of day when the crowd on the New York streets are four across, like, people uh-huh. are... People are moving up and down these streets en masse, and you're just kind of like in a group going with it, and you're keeping pace, and you're one of the city people. And then this girl who had just come out of a kind of like a TJ Maxx type of store, who was holding a big glass thing. It wasn't a mirror, but it was like a big piece of like furniture.
Is this
for
a
her
Mentos
house.
Commercial?
Kind of, a little bit, because she walked a couple steps and it slipped out of her hand and it dropped, and everyone on the street froze. So literally like 10 people all stopped in their tracks to make sure they didn't get glass on them or whatever, and that everyone was okay, and kind of looked around. And then the girl who was, seemed like she might have been new to town, she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? And she's like looking at the people in front of her where the glass kind of smashed. And then this really short old lady who came out of nowhere steps into the center and goes, no, are you okay? I fucking lost my mind. Like, and then they all just started kind of like picking things, you know what I mean? Like taking care of business. But the old lady was just like, did anyone else see her? Did I hallucinate that? Are you okay?
Whenever you're in New York City, you're just suddenly in a scene from a movie. It just feels that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For real. People are hilarious.
She hears a glass shatter. That old lady, like, her job is to be in places and do that. So she hears a glass shatter. She makes a quick run to that intersection. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, okay, I gotta go in there and make sure people are okay.
I gotta check everybody. Yeah.
I
so genius.
When I first was in New York for Premium Blend, it was 2003. I
knew it. That's Premium Blend.
Did I already talk about the garbage leaping? There was just the garbage people were on strike, and there was garbage everywhere, and it was hot. And I was excited about being on TV for the first time, and maybe I'd had some drinks, but I was jumping off fire escapes into piles of garbage all night. I just was leaping into garbage. It was so fun. It was one of the funnest. I like to leap. People know that I like to leap into trash bins.
This is too quirky. That's too quirky. You're a manic pixie dream boy. He's a manic pixie dream boy.
They're shocked at first, and then if you saw it, I swear you, I'd win you over with my trash leaping. but one of the last leaps, it seemed like just a pile of hefty sacks, like black bags. But there was a trash can in there filled exclusively with fish remains, blood and scales, and it poured on me. I just fish guts, and I went into a bar. I was with Joanne Grigioni and all these central people, and I was just covered in fish, like Heathcliff the cat. And I went in, and people were like, "It smells like fish in here." And I just had scales. Oh, what a disgusting story! But God, I love that city.
Okay, when it comes to trash jumping, though, my concern is that there's going to be something hard and sharp in the bag, and you're going to be impaled.
I thought, please, no one, some ninja that just quit his job, don't throw away your sword today.
Or how about needles? I mean, like, let's talk it through why we stay away from garbage.
I was in my 20s. I was like, needles, bring them on. I was not scared. Now I'm scared of driving over certain sharp litter. I'm afraid it'll go through my car into me. That's rebar. I have nightmares about it. Yeah. But back then, I didn't worry about
that time we drove over an aluminum ladder on the freeway.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
What?
I think about it all the time because it was this kind of thing where, so we were on the freeway up in Northern California. It was me and Pete, my ex, and we were driving 80 miles an hour at night the 580, and this aluminum, you know, standard like ladder, 6 foot, I'd say. We watch it roll off the back of this truck that's ahead of us, bounce, go, and it bounced. God. A car swerves like this, whatever, and it's coming straight at us. And Pete goes, "I'm going to drive over it." And I'm like, okay. And we just drove over it, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
So it like landed on the ground.
It was kind of flying. Yeah. So I thought it was coming through the windshield for sure. Totally. And we both had to just wait to see where it landed.
Oh my God.
And then so it went like bounced down, and then we were just like, and it, because it's so light.
Yeah.
It just got smashed.
Wow.
Yeah. You'll see it, Naomi. You live in Los Angeles now, right?
Yeah.
These freeways are lousy with discarded ladders. I'm not kidding. You will see many. You'll be like, what? This is a thing? Kind of like stray cats in Texas. People don't care about cats there. No offense to the entire state. But there's ladders everywhere. They just fall off trucks and no one can just pull over. They just keep going.
But see, this is what I mean about driving and like stuff like that. Like, I can't take it. If a car in front of me, you know, if it's like that pickup or just open back where they have stuff. Oh, I'm not riding behind that car.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm like, we got to get to the side or in front of it because someone will come back. I'm going to get impaled.
Yep.
As you said, it's like the rebar fear. That's how I feel about open restaurant hatches. Speaking of New York, like walking down the street.
Oh,
you
know,
the hatch. My fear was falling into the hatch and like, you know, going down hard. And the other thing now that is, you know, the stuff coming off of someone's car, because that like happened to a family friend. You know, the story, like it was real, but again, a person who I never knew, but literally well, one guy hit a deer and the antler pierced him.
Oh, boy. That's
terror.
Terror. Yeah.
And this is why I don't drive. These are the stories that stick in my mind and are why I don't ever want to get behind the wheel.
Yes, it makes perfect sense.
Because you didn't drive in New York, obviously.
No, I got a license at 21 just for a job I had, but
it is.
And like, I never really drove after that.
Overwhelming place to learn, even just turning left in an intersection. You have to go outside of town and learn to drive.
Don't get me started on these left turns. They're a death sentence. It's a death sentence. The left turn in Los Angeles is a death sentence.
It's ridiculous that I'm even comfortable with them.
I can't. I will never. But at the same time, I do want, obviously, the independence and that feeling of like, I always feel like such a fucking loser at a party or event where I'm like, can I ride back with you? You know, like I'm just like, girl, you're too old for this. This is very high school to be.
Do you get
rides.
Real close like that? Do you get like real close to someone's face?
So where you live at? You know, could you swing by?
Do you mind real quick swinging by that Gilson's?
Well, you did get very close to my face, so I guess yes.
I guess yes. But the beauty part of like of the and it's there's also a very bad part about it of like the gig economy, but the Uber Lyft element at least makes it so that I think so many more people take those, those things because then they can drink and it's taking like drinking and driving off the table entirely.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, it's not as great now post pandemic or, as we kind of at the tail end, stuff isn't working out.
Yeah.
Very
expensive.
People should not have, accepted Prop 22 or was it the no or the yes? Either way, the one we did was wrong.
Yeah.
And, but the Supreme Court is bouncing it.
Yep. I did see that. Yeah. I know. Oh, thank God. Yeah. But then also, Karen, you notice every time I get in a Lyft, I'm rolling the dice that I may be murdered. Okay.
Yes.
When I get in that car, before I close the door, I make sure to feel the inside to make sure that that handle has not been sawn off, because that's what they can do.
Yep.
Okay. I'm making sure that my locks work. Don't you put a child lock on my situation. I'm grown. And like, that's the other layer of it too. Again, I've taken so many. I've lived to tell the tale. Like nothing has happened. I've had a few like just either weirdos or a guy. I've had a couple of road rage people where it's like, you shouldn't be doing this work. Like one guy literally like swerved and stopped and started yelling at the other car. And I was like, I'm going to get out if you're about to start a fight. You know what I mean? Like, I shouldn't be here if you're going to fight with him. But nothing has happened. But it always just feels like, 9 times out of 10, the driver's a guy. And this person can literally take me anywhere.
Yeah.
And
for
I just,
sure.
And it's like, okay, which one is more anxiety inducing, turning left or getting in a stranger's car, which is exactly what you were taught not to do from the age of 3.
Yeah.
Talk to strangers online or get into strange cars. And now you do it both with one app.
Yeah. Do it both voluntarily all the time. You pay to do it.
Yes.
Now. Which is the one time. So here, let's all say our favorite worst Lyft or Uber stories, if you have them, because I just have two quick ones. One was a guy immediately put on Christian music and tried to sell me the Lord, where I was just like, bro, I've heard about all this stuff. Don't worry. I know about. But then he just kept Christian music blasting the whole time, which was just insane. Another time a guy came in a truck that I think was lifted 3 to 4 feet off the ground. So I had to the door opened and I had to grab the inner handle and pull myself up into kind of a half lifted truck. Mm-hmm. And then once I was inside, so I was like, that was weird. Like, what would you do if it was a person that couldn't have lifted themselves or whatever? And then I turned around and his mother was in the back seat.
Oh, wait. What?
Those a truck with a little almost jump seats behind. There was a lady
what
behind
was she
me.
Doing?
It was
just yeah, what was she doing?
Knitting.
I don't know if he had to keep her with him during the day, or if she was
alive?
If they were
was
doing
this
it
a
for
weekend,
safety.
A Bernie situation? Was she? Did you?
She was fully alive.
Are you sure?
She was alive, and she was thriving in that backseat. This was what was beautiful. I think that was so nice.
That's good. That's good.
Do you guys have bad Lyft stories, or did I just drive us down?
I'm remembering suddenly now. There was a woman that I think was having some sort of a mental breakdown. She was just being very, very, very quiet. And then she said, I just figured she didn't want to talk. And I wasn't making a weird face or anything. And then she said, I feel like you're angry with me. And I was like, I'm sorry. Are you talking to me? She's like, I feel uncomfortable and scared of you. I thought she was listening to a language tape or something. So I was kind of ignoring her like this, but I was getting really nervous and I could feel my heart racing. And I said, I don't want you to feel bad. Why don't you let me out now? And then we can both feel okay. And she did. She let me out of the cabin. So
thank God.
I called and I left a message. I don't think anyone ever got back to me, but she should not have been driving. And it was scary. She was distracted and it seemed like we were going to wreck. But the other time, this old guy just introduced me to Alan Partridge. Project and we Alan Parsons, sorry. Oh. And we listened in my
and then I was like, Alan Parsons.
Partridge, you're the whole family. Parsons.
And watching TV.
He just stopped. He hung out for a half hour and just We talked about music and he wouldn't leave and it was off the clock. And I was like, I love that guy. I want to hang out with this 60 something year old guy again. But again, you have their phone number like for just one day and you can never call them back.
Never call them back.
And it's for the
they're gone. Gone. They're gone.
I had one recently, one scary. So I was working, I was shooting a small part in the show on Staten Island and didn't wrap until like 11:30 p.m. They were calling, like the production was calling me an Uber. So the Uber comes. I live in Harlem. Harlem to Staten Island, like when I was getting there, it took about 45 minutes, which I was like, oh, not so bad. Going back, it was like almost, it was going to be like 2 hours. There was like something going on. And then the guy was like, I don't know. There was a moment, I guess, like our wires got crossed. He starts to drive into New Jersey.
Mm-mm.
I live in Manhattan. It's midnight. I am freaking the fuck out. Like, I just start. My heart starts pounding. I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to murder me. I was like, it's not even an Uber on my account. Oh, it's on the production.
You thought it was a door handle sawed off situation.
Yeah. I was like, oh, he's taking me to somebody else. Why are we going to another state? Yeah. Why are we going to another state?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I was like, where are we going? Like, you know, I kind of tried to say something. And then at one point I called Andy and I was all like, just talking to him about something. And I was like, yeah, I'll see you. Did our child eat yet? Like, I wanted him to know I had a family.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to personalize myself, you know, for him. And then literally it was like, I'm terrible at geography. And like from Staten Island, I didn't realize that New Jersey is very close. And to avoid the traffic, we needed to go into Jersey to go up and around.
Yeah.
And I was like, a good 25 minutes before I realized it. And then when we got there, I go, I'm so sorry. I doubted you.
Yeah.
You knew what you were doing. Yeah.
You know, just because he's a good navigator doesn't mean he's not a murderer.
Well, he was also like
true.
Cold too. He was like, really like, you know, he didn't say anything. So it was like already the tone was set a little funky. Sure. And because it was so late and I was just like, so that was like recently. And then one time in LA, I had an older man driving probably in his 70s. I think he even told me that. And he was picking me up from work or taking me to work, either way, like Universal, like on the lot or something. And normally I don't tell people what I do, but I said, cause I was like, oh, he's 70 something. He don't care.
Yeah.
Well. As he drives, he proceeds to pull up his wife's YouTube videos.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
Hands me back his phone so I can watch his wife because she is a very funny comedian.
Oh.
Then he pulls up his reel. So now imagine an old man trying to drive and search the internet at the same time.
Oh, boy.
And then he gives me his phone. I'm like, don't you need your phone to know where to take me? Like, you just have some, like, directions on it. And he's literally showing him and his wives, like, they're, like, acting reels. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Oh, this is
Sir, not good. You should keep your phone. You never know when your agent might be calling.
Wait, that one was in LA?
Yeah,
of course.
Oh, thank God. It would have been worse if you were like a JFK and then it was like some old cab driver that's like, I've got a dream. And I've got a reel.
I just love
like
that
you.
There is a senior comedy YouTube market out there.
I know. Because like he said started stand-up. He's like, she just started doing it a couple years ago.
I love it.
So that means she started like a 70. And I was like,
lady, no.
Oh, I don't know. They're doing the open mics in Austin would bring out when I started there. They'd bring out these characters that were really unlikely comics. And there were a few like seniors that were like, I've always wanted to do stand up. I wrote 10 minutes of material and they'd be around all year and they'd get really good. And then, you know, of course, die. But I'm just kidding. Or they just stop showing up. I mean, people die. Let's talk about it. No,
you're right. You're right. It's real. Do. It's a real thing in this country. We're afraid of death.
Yeah. Open micers die all the time.
Yeah.
It's we don't true. Let's face it.
You can hear it right now.
As booked comedians, you guys need to face that open micers they're at risk.
They
in
are.
A very real way. The
now
older they get,
ever.
The worse it gets. Here's what I love. On this show, oft times we try to keep time.
Oh.
And anytime I look, it's always like we'll be like halfway done. And that's what I thought was gonna happen. And we've gone over of course with you.
Of course.
I love you so much, Naomi.
I adore you,
so
Karen,
hilarious.
And Chris, I adore you now too.
Yeah, I adore you as
angel.
Well. I'm glad I thought you were still in New York. It's great that you're here, let's be yes. friends when it's safe to.
Yeah, let's all go meet outside somewhere.
Yes.
Frisbee. And just, have an iced tea.
I have an 8-year dinner IOU that's still hanging on my personal debt wall, my friendship debt wall.
Oh,
it's
my
been
God.
So long. That was back when I used to act like there was a quarantine, but it was just at my house.
Pre-pandemic, you were like, I don't go out. I have to meet outside at a safe distance. And it was like, it's 2017. Karen, what do you know?
She's a visionary.
You know? Yeah, she knew. Knows. You knew.
She can feel it. Is there anything you want to plug of, your Comedy Central half hour, when's that going to air?
I don't know when the Netflix half hour airs, but it'll be somewhere Netflix time in like October is what we said, but I don't have an exact date, but just like look out for it, guys, because I will not stop talking about it. So don't worry. You'll find out. And as always, yes, listen to the pods. Couples therapy. We're always having fun. Good. Okay. And it's, I noticed not a ringing endorsement, but it is. We're having fun. Come join the fun. Call us. Ask us your relationship questions. I will answer them.
Yes.
And I love a Lifetime movie. If you don't have to watch the movies to like the podcast.
Sometimes that's the best thing, where if you've seen a Lifetime movie, you can throw some, I always call them earbuds. You can throw some earbuds in, do the dishes, and it's just people hilariously retelling you a Lifetime movie, essentially, and being like, here's what is amazing next. Like, that's the best part about it.
Because if you're familiar with any of them, you already know the plot formula.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And you're just having fun with us. You know, it's like, I watch it so you don't have to. That's another way to look at it.
Two amazing comedians watch it so you don't have to. Exactly. And then make it what you wish you could make it as you watch it.
Well, next time you're on, Naomi, you will be, we'll drive you somewhere when it's convenient.
Yes.
So much.
And
save up some errands.
Yes.
Get a little list of, you know what I mean?
Or place.
Do you need to go to the nursery? Do you need to go to the Americana? Yeah.
Like, maybe we'll go to the vet. We'll go to the vet and then we'll sit in the parking lot and wait for Mabel to get her shots.
Perfect.
Dog, you know, that'll give us a good hour.
Yeah, yeah. I like
just
the sound
of wait
that.
In the parking lot of Mohawk Alley.
Just some hot car energy.
Car energy.
So good for conversation.
That's pigeon energy too.
Oh,
that's pigeon.
You
hot
know
cars,
I love
pigeon.
That.
Yeah.
Very similar energies.
Thank you for being here, Naomi. You're terrific.
Yeah. That was awesome. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN AR.
AR.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
You'll never make the cheerleading squad now, Steven. Bad news.